All right. Well, you know, I get asked a lot if we think that we're living in the end times, you know. And so let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read about some signs of the times. That's how we're going to start out, but that's not really my whole point, but it is. Matthew 24, starting with verse 6, it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." But this is the best part of this whole verse. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So you know what? Even when we go through all this stuff, in the end, many people is going to get saved. There's going to be revival. Amen? And, you know, I don't know where we're at in all this, because people always ask, well, where are we? Well, we're right here. You that are sitting here, we're in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. You know, the main thing is we should occupy until the Lord comes back. And, you know, wherever we're at, we're at. But I was actually reading this because someone was asking me some questions. And I got to verse 7, and I was reading, "For nation will rise up against nation, a kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines." I know what a famine is. "Pestilences," I have no clue what that was, "and earthquakes in various places." So I decided to look up the word pestilence. Now, notice it says pestilences, okay? That's plural, not singular. Notice that? Read that. All right. So what is a pestilence? Well, according to Webster's dictionary, it says the definition of a pestilence is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating, especially the bubonic plague. Now, the second definition is something that is destructive, or I can't even read that one word. I'm not going to even think. But the thing about it is when I read that, it hit me that COVID is just a pestilence that Jesus told us was going to happen. And it says that there will be plural. This will not be the first one. All right, you know what I know they're talking about, because when I was getting ready today, I was watching the news, and they were talking about the Delta variant. And just to let you know, I understand the Lambda variant. And Lambda is also, see, Delta is a Greek letter. Lambda is a Greek letter. The Lambda variant is actually worse than the Delta variant, so get ready for that one. All right. But you know what? We have Jesus who doesn't have a variant. There is no variant Jesus. Jesus says, I'll never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus covers all variants. And so we have to realize that disease, pandemics, are a sign of the times. You know, because some people are like, man, you know, is God really like, I mean, did he know this was going to happen? Because he didn't warn me. You know, I didn't wake up and have a dream, or I have this, or I have that. But, you know, I get it. COVID is real, okay? But Jesus is realer. And the second word that they brought up on this newscast I was watching was fear-mongering. They were talking about fear. And, you know, it just seems that in the last year and a half, and, you know, I guess almost 2 years now, we just keep hearing fear, 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 fear. And when you think you're over it, then more fear. And more fear, and more fear. That's why we have the Bible. Because the Bible is full of fear nots. You know, and actually, we read about what pestilence is. Fear, I just Googled fear, and this is the thing first came to come up. It says, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by belief that something, someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. All right. Now, interesting, it uses the word belief. It uses the word belief. See, what do you believe? Do you believe that fear will overtake you, or do you believe that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago did away with your fear? See, you have to choose what to believe. You know, the devil is the author of fear, and, you know, God is not. Now, I actually, you know, everyone knows I'm a Googleologist, and so I was Googling fear today, and actually, crosswalk.com has a thing, and if you just Google this, 33 verses about fear and anxiety to remind us God is in control. So if you just, you know, verses on fear, it'll come up, because maybe if some of you are dealing with some fear, maybe you should read all 33 of these verses every day. Because you know what? I just read a few verses and it made me feel happier, even though I'm not even in fear. But, you know, there was three things they were talking about when it comes to fear. It says it's, overcoming fear and anxiety. It says it's not always easy. It often comes down to a choice. Choosing not to allow fear and anxiety to control your life. Choosing to guard your heart and choosing to focus your mind on what is true in the midst of uncertain times. You know, I don't know when this was written, but I think it was written, it was written actually in March 16th of 2020. So I guess that's right about when the COVID outbreak came out. So I decided tonight we're going to go through some of these verses on fear and try to put away fear in your minds. Because we'll get to that. I was going to say a verse, but that's not my first one. So my first verse we're going to talk about today is Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to go ahead and read them all from the New King James just because that's where I'm at, all right? Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you." So as soon as fear tries to enter your mind, you need to remember that God is with you. All right, I understand that maybe you can't see him, but he's with you. He's always with you. He goes on to say, be not dismayed, for I am your God. Now, I like the word your God. That means, you know, I'm your personal God. I'm the God for you. Now I know it's the same God. It's all, you know, my God is your God, your God is my God. But you need to get personal. You know, it's just like, you know, you might have your earthly father. Well, this is your heavenly father. Now, he might be my heavenly father too, but you need to take ownership of your God. And that your God is with you whenever you start to fear. Because you know what? Fear is a natural emotion, and you're going to have times in life, whether it be over this disease, whether it be over, you know, a bad report to doctor, whether it be over some financial situations you didn't think about, whether it be over, you know, your kids got in some kind of mess, whatever. There's going to be opportunities in your life to fear. All right? And naturally, immediately what's going to happen is when fear tries to come in, immediately you're going to, you know, be gripped with that emotion. But as soon as you get gripped with that emotion, you need to remember your God. You need to remember, you know what? My God is with me in the middle of whatever battle I'm facing. Whatever battle it might be. Now, it goes on to say, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So he's going to give us strength. He's going to help us. Now, there are some people that tend to have fear. Now, when people start, you know, you realize that the opposite of faith is fear. And one of the reasons people can't have faith as they have fear. You're either going to have faith operating or fear. And when you start having fear operating in your life, you can't have faith. And I'm going to tell you, some people ask me, well, why did that person die? You know, and a lot of times it comes down to whenever you get a disease, you start to fear more than you have faith. Now, I'm not going to say that's what happened. I don't know, you know, what happens every time. But I was talking to my doctor today. I talk to doctors all the time, by the way. If you, I used to not talk to doctors at all, But I have a lot of friends who are doctors, and I talk to. But today's doctor, I was talking to the Dr. Sherwood, who helped me lose my weight. I had a scheduled phone appointment with him, and we were talking. I know a number of people right now who have COVID. And we were talking about that, and he says the number one thing that happens to people is that whenever they have symptoms, they start to fear. And this is from a natural, he goes, now I'm not talking to you from a spiritual level here, Craig. I'm talking from a natural. From a natural level, when you start to fear, like if you see that you're, he said one of the problems is because people a lot of times now are buying those oximeter things to see what their blood oxygen level is. I have one on my watch. I don't have to go buy one. It's right here, and it'll tell me. And it says, if you look at it and you see it's going down, as soon as that happens, what happens is your body immediately starts to fear, and it'll keep going down. Same way with blood pressure. People, if their blood pressure starts going up or rise, if you look at that, it says, if you watch that too much, you're going to have fear and anxiety, and your body will actually cause it to be worse. In fact, I read one time, the best thing to do if you ever have a heart attack, and so this is a tip I want to give everyone here and everyone watching online. If you ever have a heart attack, the best thing you can do is relax. That's exactly what it says. The best thing you can do is relax, because usually most people get in fear. Fear will kill you. Fear causes worry. And I don't know how many times, I mean, this is the way my grandfather used to say, this is not the way you would say it now, because we wouldn't call it this way. But my grandfather would say this, that he was talking to a medical doctor that deals with mental health. And back at that time, they called a mental hospital an insane asylum. Some of you might have heard those things. And this doctor says there's more people in the insane asylum that are dealing with worry than any other thing. They worry themselves to go crazy. You know, and the thing about it, the Bible talks about not having worry or anxiety. Now, you know, it seems that a lot of people are having worry and anxiety, and it's not in my DNA. I mean, I've never had issues with worry and anxiety. Maybe it's because I'm too much like my grandfather. I've heard him talk too much, and I'm not prone to worry. In fact, when people try to make me worry, it makes me mad. You know, I don't know how many times my wife has tried to make me worry, and I'm like, no. I mean, it'll all be okay. I've read the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I mean, my grandfather always said, what does the Bible say? What does the Word say? And that's what we're doing. We're reading what the Word says about fear, about anxiety, because the Word says right here, fear not, for I am with you. I mean, how much better do we have? You know, we have God with us. He's right there with us in every situation. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, wherever you are, he's right with you. So you know what? Why don't you take advantage of that and talk to him? Maybe if you're having difficulty, you know, maybe you have no people in the hospital and things like that, and you're concerned, talk to God. Hey, God, help me not to worry. Show me you. Show me your love. Show me how much you love me. So, talk to God. Maybe that's what we need to do. Talk to God a little more. All right, I'm going to go to Psalms 56:3. Psalms 56:3 says this. It says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust you. See, that's the thing. When you get afraid, what is your first thought? Do you think about, I'm going to trust God? Or do you think, oh no, this is going to get me? You know, fear is something that we learn as, even from a young age. There are some kids that are afraid of the dark. You know, and a lot of times, I was thinking about a situation where someone was playing with their child or whatever, and you know, they found they got afraid, and they turned lights out on, or talk about the boogeyman might come and all these kind of things. I mean, they're joking, but don't put fear in anybody. You know, we shouldn't have fear. Fear shouldn't be the first emotion that we have. I mean, we should be telling our kids, you know what, there's nothing to worry about. And that's what's really concerning right now is our little kids watching all this stuff, you know, they can't handle it. You know, and they get afraid. All right, skipping on, we'll go to John 14, 27. Like, there's 33 scriptures. We're not going to read all 33 of these scriptures because it's an hour of power, all right? It's not 33 hours of power or something like that. Of course, it wouldn't take 33 hours to read 33 scriptures, but it might take a couple hours. We're just going to look at a few, all right? So what did I say? John 14, 27. John 14, 27 says this. Says, peace I leave you, this is Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, you know, we should have the peace of God that passes all understanding on the inside. That's the peace that Jesus left to us. He left us peace. And if we truly have peace, then we're not afraid. We're only afraid when we don't have peace. You can't have peace and be afraid at the same time. All right? Just like you can't have faith and fear at the same time. You have to choose to have faith. Because I tell you, you know, doctors don't try to make you afraid, but doctors give you worst case scenario a lot of times. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, have you ever read one of, I mean, seen one of those commercials for, you know, some kind of new drug? And then at the end, the guy will read all the side effects. And the last one is, and even death. He kind of like kind of throws that off, you know. But doctors usually, when they were talking, you know, they give you the worst one first. They give you the death first. Even though, like, you know, it's like 0.01% or something, you know, but, and I actually asked a doctor one time, why did I do that? Said, so they don't get sued because they didn't tell you what was, you know, what could happen to you. You know, so they want to make sure they cover all the bases, you know, so you know. And the deal is that there's going to be times you're going to get bad news. And you're going to have to choose not to be afraid. You know, you're just going to make that choice. Because there's going to be things that happen in your life that most people will be afraid about. You know, but we choose to live in peace. I mean, that's my choice. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to live in peace. Going on, we'll read, let me go back and look to here. The Philippians 4. Philippians 4. 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. So don't worry about anything, pray about it. Everything that worries you, you should say, God, this is what I'm worried about. This is what I need to happen so I don't worry about it anymore. It's just that simple. Well, that just sounds too easy. Well, this is your God. This is your God you're talking to. This is your Heavenly Father. It's not hard to talk to God. Just say, God, this is what I need. This is what I'm going through. Now, the interesting part about it is, it says, once you make the request known to Him, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, it says it's going to guard your heart and minds after you give Him your requests. It doesn't say you're going to have peace after your need is met. It says you're going to have peace after you give Him your request. Or basically, you know, another scripture over at 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your cares upon Him, we're going to say, God, this is what I was worried about and caring about. Here, you take them. Now, I'm going to have that peace. Now, what normally happens is we pray, we ask God to help us, and then once we do, we feel good for a short time, maybe a night or so, and then we wake up the next morning, and the devil's like, hey, did you forget about your issues? And then we start picking back up what we gave to God. We start having issues because the devil talked about our, told us about our issues. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we know that. You know, it doesn't say that we're going to have peace whenever our issues are gone. It says we're going to have peace once we give Jesus our requests. It's as simple as that. Now, this wasn't part of it, but I'm going to read the rest of the chapter because this is something we need to do to help us stay in peace. Verse number eight, which I didn't give in verse number eight, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report." All right, that means you can't watch the news. Okay, I'm sorry. If there is any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on those things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what we have to do is concentrate on the things that doesn't stress us out or make us worry. And when someone tries to stress us out or make us worry, said, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to put away those things. And I'm going to think on him. I'm going to think about my Savior, my Lord. I'm going to think about what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. I'm going to think about that he took his stripes, and by his stripes I was healed. And I don't care if the doctor doesn't say I'm healed. I know I was healed because that's what the word says. What does the Bible say? What does the word say? You know, we'll go on. All right, because we got 9 minutes. All right, the verse I was going to get to, I was going to start with this verse until I found the 33 verses here. 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know this. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You know, sound mind means a peace of mind. We have peace. Now, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, the only person that gives us a spirit of fear is, we could say this, Satan has given us a spirit of fear. So if you're afraid, that wasn't from God. Fear is not from God. Faith is from God. Fear is from the devil. Choose faith over fear. Remember, there is no variant with Jesus. All right? You know, I was going to say the Jesus variant, but there is no variant. Jesus is the same. All right? And if people want to throw out, you know, whatever, because it's not just going to be about COVID. There's going to be other things that are coming your way because the Bible clearly says that pestilences will be coming our way before the end of time. I don't know where we are on the calendar, but it also talks about earthquakes and wars and rumors of war and all those things. But this is just part of life. Well, I don't like it. Well, the disciples didn't like it either when the winds and waves go up whenever they were on the sea. But you know what? They got to the other side. Now, I got it. They had to wake up Jesus. Jesus had to tell them, "Peace, be still." You know, and the thing about it, he says, "You have little faith." Well, start having big faith. Start deciding, you know what? This is just some winds and waves right now. These are just storms in life that's going to happen. And we already know that. If you've read the Bible, you already knew they were going to happen. So it doesn't be, I'm not surprised. It's not surprising. It's just happening what, you know, it's been prophesied. Psalms 23, everyone knows Psalms 23. Psalms 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me." We have to remember that. He's with us. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know what? If you need some comfort, just talk to God. We're going to finish off. This is the last one on their list. And I was already going to talk about it anyway. Psalms 91. And everyone should know Psalms 91. If you don't know it, I mean, Psalms 91 was one of the first verses or first scriptures that my mom ever taught me. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. There's that word pestilence. And you can change it to COVID. You can change it to any kind of sickness or disease. He's going to deliver you from a pandemic. And see, that was way back in Psalms. This is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God knew that there would be, and it doesn't just say pestilence, it says perilous pestilence. I mean, people are dying. Some people say, well, people are dying. Yes, they are. But what does Psalm 91 say? It goes on to say, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. It says you shall not be afraid. All right? Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence. Once again, there it is. That same disease that walks in darkness, nor to destruction that lays waste at noonday. Now here's, I've said this to my wife, I don't know how many times, when she said, well, people are dying. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. From day one, when anybody says there was anything about a COVID, I didn't know about other variants of the COVID, but from day one, I've been confessing COVID-19 cannot live in my body. Cannot live in my body. Now, at some point in time along the way, I must have been in contact with COVID-19. I didn't quarantine because I didn't know I had it. All right. And the only reason I know I had it because I took a blood test and they told me that I had the antibody. So either one or two things happened. Either I had it, didn't know I had it, or God just gave me the antibodies. I don't know which one happened, but it doesn't matter because I had the antibodies before I had the antibodies because Jesus Christ is the antibody. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back 2,000 years ago. The antibodies were injected into me. 2,000 years ago. I don't have to get injection day. I got 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, I was healed. What were you healed of? Any sickness or disease that will ever be named, you know, in mankind's history. Whether we know it now or we don't know it, you know, or we know it later, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, so yes, people are dying. But I quote the scripture all the time. Actually, every day I quote the scripture. Do you realize that I got to a point when this is something my mom taught me once again. Every day I claim the 91st Psalm over me and my family every day. In fact, I used to do it multiple times a day. Pretty much every time I pray, when I'm just my own prayer life, I'll claim the 91st Psalm, not just for me, but for me and my whole family. Well, what's the 91st Psalm? Because I'm just taking all these scriptures and putting them all together, and I claim them all over my life, over my kids' life. It's what we do.
Goes on to say, only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge and even Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now see, that last thing says long life. If I die today, I'm not having long life. Do you realize if I die today, I'm not having long life? I claim long life for me. That's part of the 91st Psalm. Long life. It says with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, something that I do, I claim the 91st Psalm daily. And I think you should too. But it is interesting because sometimes what happens is when we read these words like pestilence, and we don't know what that is. How many of you here admit that you've read that over and you didn't even realize that was a deadly disease? You probably didn't realize that you could relate pestilence to COVID-19. Now they relate to the bubonic plague, back in the day. But that's what a pestilence is. And the 91st Psalm covered all the pestilences. But I want you to understand that pestilence, plural, was what Jesus said was going to happen before the end of the world. So there's going to be more pestilences. You can choose to be afraid, or you can choose to trust God. It's your choice. It's your choice. And I tell you what, it's a whole lot easier and better not to choose fear. You know, and to quote one of our presidents, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Fear will grip you. Fear will dominate you. Fear will kill you. But we need to have faith, and we need to realize that with Jesus, there is no variant. Jesus paid it all. And, you know, a lot of times I always say, do you even believe your songs? I mean, we sing songs, and we sing all these victory songs, worship songs, and all these things. And, I mean, then we get in fear. And I'm like, yeah, but you just sang this song yesterday. Well, I guess I didn't. You know, what are you doing just not knowing what you're singing? You know, a lot of times we sing songs now the same way with scripture. But a lot of times we quote scriptures, and then 3 days later, we're doing the opposite of what the scripture we quote. You know, honestly, I'm tired of talking about fear. You know, honestly, I'm tired of talking about it. And I don't give a place to fear. And, but over the last, I'm trying to be on vacation over the last week or so, and I don't know how many people I've talked to that they're being gripped with fear over some kind of new variant. Well, I'm here to tell you, this won't be the last one. And it won't be the last disease. Pestilences. All right? I warned you. Jesus warned you. I mean, it's more important that he warned you than me. I don't really care about me. I'm reminding you of what Jesus said to warn you. So you know what? So when you're watching the news and you hear about the alpha, the beta, the delta, the gamma, the lambda, the zeta, I'm trying to remember my Greek letters. You know, all those things. I guess eventually we'll end with omega, right? Omega's the end. But see, Jesus already said, Jesus is the alpha and omega. So he's taking care of all the variants. So this kind of it's all about Jesus. All right. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter, you know, now we're talking about pestilences, but you know, there's so many times that you go to the doctor and the doctor is going to give you a bad report. He might use the cancer word. He might use some other word. You know, it is what it is. So far, I've encountered three incurable illnesses that doctors have discovered about me. Three. Not one, not two, but three. I'm still here. All right. Now, all of them weren't you know, deadly, but they weren't good. One doctor, I had some kind of reoccurring something. Basically, it means that all the time I'm going to have cartilage pain. It started with my ear. Said, "Oh yeah," but it's going to go to your nose cartilage, your knee cartilage, anywhere you have cartilage, you're going to have pain all the time because it's called reoccurring chondritis or something like that. Such a rare disease. This doctor says I'm the first patient he's ever seen that's had this disease. In fact, he got excited about it whenever he. I thought it was an ear infection. This is a number of years ago. This is before Google was what it was. He came back with all the encyclopedia things. He says, He's only known of one other ear doctor that's even ever seen this disease. So we learned about it in medical school, and you're the first person I've ever seen. The guy was excited. I'm like, I wasn't really that excited to hear about it, but whatever. And he goes, not only affect your ear, because it was like right here on the top of my ear, ear cartilage. And he says, you know, it'll affect your nose, it'll affect any kind of your elbow, any kind of cartilage in your body, because it's a reoccurring something. You know, I don't know, but it never reoccurred. It went away, it still hasn't reoccurred. I'm not waiting for it to reoccur, it's not going to reoccur. It hasn't affected my ears anymore, hadn't affected my nose, hadn't affected my knees, hadn't affected my, you know, anything. It unoccurred. You know, and the thing about it is that we shouldn't be afraid. We should trust God. It's all going to be okay. I'm here to tell you it's going to be okay. If you'll trust God, if you'll choose not to fear, if you'll choose to stay in faith, and you know what? Maybe you should look up these 33 scriptures on fear and anxiety. Just Google scriptures on fear and anxiety. I'm sure you're going to pull it up from crosswalk.com. And there's 33. Maybe if some of you are dealing with it, you should read these scriptures every day. You know, because I tell you, man, if you keep reading and reading and reading and reading, it's hard to have fear whenever you're reading about not having fear, reading about how good God is. And man, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, that, to help us to understand that, you know what, no matter what comes in life, that we will not be afraid, but we know that you're with us in all seasons, at all times. And we just thank you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.